We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oscar Robertson, Lou Alcindor. What a year it has been. The Bucks are the world champions.
Ray Allen driving past Armstrong. The jam over McGrady. 2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton! Happy birthday, Jason Kidd. This pace is up for grabs.
Knocked away and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul. And a pinnacle ball throws it down.
Step back three from the top.
Got it! Got it! Giannis ties the game and becomes the Bucks' all-time leading scorer on one stroke.
It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions.
I'm going to play basketball and win.
And win?
Yeah.
How many games?
Six. We're going to win in six.
Hello and welcome to a special emergency episode of the Eurostep Podcast Network. It's me, Adam McGee. I'm joined by my good friend, Ty Windisch. And we are here, Ty, to talk about Pat Connaughton opting into his player option for next season. First off, how are you doing? I assume you're doing pretty well off the back of this news.
I was going to say, I'm doing a lot better now that we learned this. Truly a shock. Honestly, shocking and almost puzzling, I would say, decision from Pat Connaughton to opt in. I don't know what the real benefit is. We'll get into it all. But from Woj today, I stopped what I was doing. I think I was eating an apple. And I just like a cartoon, I just threw it over my shoulder. $5.7 million player option for the 22-23 season, according to ESPN. Today was his deadline, I believe. That's been reported. So he had to make his decision. Unfortunately, we have to wait another week for Bobby Portis. I would not expect this level of good news when he makes his decision, but we'll get into it. But I'm doing well, although still a little flummoxed.
Yeah, so the news, as reported by Woj, is that Pat is exercising his $5.7 million option to return to the Bucks for next season. I mean, the Bucks have multiple things to get on top of going into free agency. They obviously have the likes of Wes Matthews, Javon Carter, who they may want back as well. But I think the two headline decisions that we kind of felt were non-decisions from player perspective, and that were going to become something of challenges for the Bucks moving into free agency were Pat and Bobby Portis. And Pat has at least simplified things on his part. There is likely another shoe to drop on this one, I would say, later in the offseason. This doesn't just mean Pat's decided, oh yeah, I want to be back for one more year. I'm going to take a guess there's been some handshake agreements in a very real sense, and we see something very different in the longer term with Pat.
Adam Silver, stop listening now. Or Mark Tatum, if you're still taking over.
I assume no one can prove anything. I'm guessing nothing gets written down. Listen, Pat's a businessman. Pat knows how to do hush-hush handshake deals, you know, behind closed doors. making sure no one has the place bugged. I'm sure it's all being taken care of.
Are there any owners meetings coming up soon?
I'm sure around the draft would seem like a...
That could be a problem. I think we should push those back another month or two just to make sure all the ducks are in a row here.
Honestly, there could be like a governor's meeting like tomorrow before the draft. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But Pat coming back is something that I think we all have agreed, whether it's listening to Eurostep, whether it's to win at six. And over a couple of seasons, that was just kind of essential to the Bucks. It's a testament to his improvement as a player, his growing stature within the Bucks, but also within the wider NBA. None of us really doubted that he would have problems getting offers better than this summer, which speaks to, I guess, Pat just really wants to be a Buck, wants not just to be a Buck kind of for another year or so, but wants to settle in here long term, continue to stay with the franchise, continue to work, I guess, on building a really meaningful legacy beyond even what he's already done with the likes of Giannis and Chris and Brooke and Drew. And yeah, I mean, I'm as surprised. I know we did a live episode last year when, you know, when Bobby comes back at the real kind of cup price and PJ Tucker's gone, and that caught us off guard in a different way. But maybe it's just because this is such a pleasant surprise. I don't feel like there's immediately a bad surprise to drop after it, but I am really kind of caught off guard by this.
Yeah, I was asked on the score here in Wisconsin earlier today, does this mean they're going to re-sign Bobby? And I was like, well, it helps, but, you know, we got the Bobby contract right before the PJ news last year, so it certainly doesn't mean that for sure. The best explanation I can come up with is, according to John Hollinger, Pat could sign an extension next month for as much as $12 million a year. I think, and he could have just opted out and signed for $12 million a year for 5 years, right? So no matter what whatever happens, this is the most favorable to the Bucks this season. I wonder if the thought process here is Pat is giving the Bucks one more discounted rate season and then signing for the number that we more expected for like 4 years or some amount of years after that. So help with the tax bill for one more year. They're not going to have cap space this year. They're going to be in the tax this year, pretty much no matter what. I mean, if they're not in the tax this year, we have a lot darker conversations we're going to have because some things have gone horribly wrong. But I'm guessing that that is the logic here. I mean, again, I think it would have been more than fair for Pat to opt out and ask for 3 years, $36 million, you know, some amount of years around 10 to 12. You know, I thought maybe he takes a real sweetheart deal and it starts at like 8 and goes up over time. To just take 5.7, though, even if he signs 4 years, $48 million on top of that, I think it's still a bargain and still doing the Bucks a huge favor. So I think that's my main takeaway is no matter what is afoot, this is certainly Pat playing into wanting to be in Milwaukee long term, wanting to continue building here, and doing what he can to assist the Bucks with that.
Wanting to be in Milwaukee long term, and you can't control that. Pat will understand that better than most, and particularly if you sign into a long term contract, there's no guarantee that you're going to get to see that out with the team you signed it for, the team you wanted to spend that particular duration with. But this is definitely about years. And if he's to sign an extension, I have no doubt he will get looked after in terms of the money that he otherwise would have been getting this offseason. But opt in and then sign a four-year extension, well, there's your 5 years. And that brings Pat up to age 34. And he's always been someone who's been really realistic and pragmatic about his own ability, his own place in the NBA. In the past couple of years, that has certainly shifted because he's got better and better, and he's been a key cog on one of the very best teams in the NBA. But he does seem like someone, and when you've listened to him talk, and, you know, we make more probably business jokes about Pat than anyone else, I feel like a real ambition for him is to be like, oh, I'm an NBA player, true, so I'm like 34, 35, or whatever it might be. And if he's stopped in here as he has, and then let's say it is a four-year extension at whatever number he and the Bucks agree to, congratulations. Like, you're going to do that. You're going to be contracted true till you're about to turn 35. And considering, again, not to go full Pat facts on this, but his journey to the NBA, some of the alternative options he could have had in terms of if he was to go down the baseball route, Like, this is the part he's chosen, and he's making something really good out of it. And he continues to talk about how important Milwaukee is to him, how important the Bucks are to him. And for all of the more questionable elements of his business interests and investments in Milwaukee over the years, I do think at this point as well, no one is really doubting that he also shows a lot of very genuine kind of goodwill and interest in being a part of the community and being an active part of that as a face of the Bucks, as a voice of the Bucks. He's been very active on that front. And he is getting a chance to, I'm going to guess, have the kind of career and build a kind of legacy as an NBA player that in his wildest dreams, he probably didn't imagine he'd have. Like, if he does stay with the Bucks true to age 34, and who knows what the next 4 or 5 years have in store for the Bucks, but where he would sit in Bucks history, based on what he's already done, kind of building himself up as a face and a voice of the Bucks, we've seen this with all sorts of former Bucks over the years. It's like you build something different for yourself. You build a standing for yourself within the organization. Pat could very well be someone who wants to work in a front office. Would not surprise me. And he certainly got great relationships with all the right people within the Bucks already to position himself for that kind of transition. Like, he's a guy who has a lot of stuff on his mind and is definitely playing a lot of different things at once in a way that is maybe not true of everyone else. But I do think it's interesting how he is becoming something of a, like, Mr. Milwaukee Bucks in the role player sense. Obviously, that's Giannis, but there's always someone else. There's always someone who's prepared to be the face and the voice, and Pat is doing a lot of that and has been for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and I think just the way that since pretty much he walked in the door, he's been one of those guys mentioned as, you know, Giannis loves this guy, Giannis's workout buddy, right? And you know, there was a time when that was everything Pat that used to be an insult now seems like a positive thing about Pat because he's improved so much. But I think the culture stuff, and also, I mean, I've maybe more than anyone discussed this ad nauseum, but a guy who was one of six playable, you know, rotation players by the end of the Brooklyn series, one of the best guys throughout, you know, the entire championship run, certainly one of the Bucks' best players this last playoffs and until game seven, was pretty clearly the third best player on that team that played against Boston, obviously with Chris Middleton not playing, and it was such a difficult series for Brook Lopez. But he averaged just under 10 points per game in the regular season, by far a career high, 9.5 points in the playoffs, didn't really dip, shot 39% in both the regular season and the playoffs from three. He's rock solid, he's dependable, he's a great fit, he's a culture guy. These are the kind of players that you want to be doing things like opting in below market rate to stay and work out a deal. I think this is, you know, I think we've talked about Budenholzer, Mike Budenholzer, one of his big contributions that goes under the radar being culture. And it's not just Bud. I mean, it stems from Giannis, of course, the front office, John Horst, ownership, it all plays into this. And this is not to, you know, blindly praise the Bucks org and say that they're great, but clearly the culture they built is real and they're keeping a very good player for well under market value. And that's the kind of thing that the kind of benefit that comes from really, you know, investing and seeking out having a good culture.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, But Greg doesn't have the athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The culture can only be real if you've got people there to make it real. Like, every team in the NBA is trying to build a culture. We make fun of a team like the Heat all the time for Heat culture. But the reason they were able to build that is, okay, you've got a vision that starts with ownership and Pat Riley, and then you've got a coach who carries that out in Eric Spoelstra. But over the years, they have had stars, Dwayne Wade, bridging a long period of time to buy in. And then you get role players who come and they will represent that too. And the Bucks have that with Giannis. They have singular superstar who doesn't want to be treated any differently to anyone else. He's going to work just as hard, and as we all know, harder than anyone else on the team. And he's going to lead by example in basically all facets of his game, his life, on the court, off the court. You've got all of that going for him. And then you get someone like Pat who comes along and rows right in with that. And that is important because it's not just that Giannis is up here and everyone is trying to reach Giannis's level. Pat is the guy that, for example, if you're Bobby Portis when Bobby Portis comes in, or if you're whoever, say they may end up signing this offseason, who could be a little, feel they're a little undervalued or their career hasn't gone as they might like to today, but here they are, they've got a chance. Like, Pat is the guy that they can look to. He can fully kind of vouch for what the Bucks experience can do, what it's done for him. And he is the shining example of, you know, you can be really kind of just as central a part of this as anyone else. Of Giannis, as Giannis, as Chris, as Drew, as Bud, like, you can be thought of in that way. And again, like, wasn't always the case. Anyone listening to this, any Bucks fan, you're going to be able to remember going back not all that long ago, where Pat was a player who would often be a source of frustration for Bucks fans, where Pat's last contract that he signed, like this one that he is now opting into and we're all rejoicing about another year, when that deal was signed, it wasn't one that everyone was really, really happy about. But he's managed to flip that script over time and become a player that, Ty, I think we've got this far into the episode without you making any reference to rafters. But I wonder if you're Pat Connaughton, does that sort of thing enter your mind too? Because again, there is a legacy in place already for him with the Bucks, and there's a chance to add to it. And I don't know if he viewed himself coming into the NBA being kind of, you know, 50-50, whether he's going to be going the baseball route or the basketball route, if he saw himself as a player that anyone would ever be talking about, oh, his number could end up hanging from the rafters of an NBA arena. And it could. Like, he is on that path with the Bucks in terms of what he's achieved, in terms of how he's positioned himself, and in how he continues to perform. Like, he doesn't blink in the playoffs. You outlined it. That's crucial. There's been a lot of good players in the Bucks over the past few years who have just completely keeled over in the playoffs or who become much more inconsistent. Pat elevates his game most of the time, but at minimum, if he has a really good regular season like he had last year, he's going to bring that again to the playoffs. You can't ask for more than that. And it's building an overall Bucks legacy for him that I wonder, does he stop and think about that? And is it, you know, well, what's the money elsewhere? And what do I care about? Because we also know, like, Pat is not just like an athlete. Pat is a diehard sports fan. Like, he loves sports, and some of the romance of that probably speaks to him more than it might to some other guys too.
Yeah. And I think the funny part about Pat is, for, you know, as much as he is, no matter what he says on IG stories, a businessman, he has, I mean, right after, I think the season ended, the Bucks put out that long video with his postseason media thing where he's basically like, it's not always about the money. It's like, it's just funny to consider kind of the duality of Pat, like capitalist Pat versus staying in Milwaukee Pat.
He always says he sees other ways beyond basketball. Yeah. It's not his salary. That's not the be all end all of making money for him, which is interesting because it should still probably be one of your go-tos with what's available to you there. I don't know how well things are going over at, is it Tree Leaf? Is that the...
Yes, I believe it is.
That's his company. I don't know how well things are going there. Like, maybe it is at a point where Pat's like, oh yeah, that's just that basketball bunny's just like the bonus coming in every now and then. I don't believe that's the case, but that is how he's always talked about it, which I don't know. I can't think of another. I definitely can't think of another role player in the NBA like that. Like, that's fine. LeBron being like, yeah, my goal is to be a billionaire. And him thinking that way. But Pat Connaughton thinking that way. And honestly, on the whole so far, seeming like that's a pretty successful strategy for him. Like, he is getting what he seems to want in terms of long-term security out of his life by taking that approach.
Yeah, it's pretty unique, honestly, when you put it that way, of like role players around sports even, who forego what would be, I mean, listen, what Pat has made in his career is nothing for us normies to scoff at. But for Pat, what would be certainly, you know, his biggest payday to this point, substantially bigger than his NBA career earnings, although, you know, like we mentioned up top, that could still be coming sometime next month when the league calendar rolls over via an extension. I certainly would hope that there's an extension tacked on to this sooner rather than later, because Pat deserves that security. As much as goodwill as there is between he and the Bucks, you just never know what could happen. And I think, you know, Pat deserves a long guaranteed contract for the way he's played these last, I mean, he's been in Milwaukee 4 years, really the last two seasons, where I think he's leveled up in his game in a pretty obvious way.
For sure. And his career earnings now, I mean, are up to $22 million as an NBA player, which certainly is not nothing. But as you said, the extension comes along, you expect him to surpass that with the value of that extension pretty comfortably with a multiple year extension. And that's got to be the play here. Honestly, if it's not, we're going to find ourselves scratching our heads in August and we're going to be like, what is really going on there? Because even from the Bucks' point of view, I mean, is it a win for them if Pat just opts in now and you're going through this again next offseason? They're in a kind of really tough cycle with that that just seems to set you up to possibly fall apart in terms of your depth every single year. On the one hand, they probably wouldn't mind getting out of that, but he's doing them a solid right now. I saw Frank Madden tweet that I believe it could be up to $10 million in luxury tax savings for this season that Pat is essentially looking after the Bucks with. So I'm going to guess he's getting that back. I'm going to guess that he's going to be looked after accordingly for that. But it is going to be interesting to see exactly how that plays out. To go to something you touched on earlier, so does this change your feelings on whether Bobby should be back, whether Bobby will be back, how the Bucks factor into this? I don't know if it actually changes anything from my perspective, but what I do think it will change, and we saw this last year, is it sets a narrative that if the Bucks cheap out on Bobby and Bobby isn't back and they don't find a creative way that ultimately everyone's left to go, oh, the roster is actually better, then you're left in a spot like we were a year ago when Bobby took the discount that PJ Tucker's not back, where you'll be like, well, Pat opted in. Pat made it easier for you right now, and you've still let Bobby go. So I think even from like a narrative pressure sense, that's interesting for the Bucks. Do the Bucks care what anyone says about them? Absolutely not. That's been well established with how they deal with injuries. But where are you at on that, and how do you think it may affect the Bucks' decisions over the next week or so?
I think it's funny that it is going to boil down to a lot of people to Bobby Portis. And I think there's more that I hope to see because of this, or at least other ways this could be this tax savings. Because that's, I mean, this is a question I've actually gotten a fair amount. Like, what does this do for the Bucks functionally? Are they under the cap now? No, they'll never be under the cap Well, maybe apron, but probably not. And you could argue how important that is anyway. It's more possible now, but you'd pretty much need Bobby to leave or some significant other salary to move. So probably nothing except for, you know, lighten the load on ownership. And clearly, whatever it is, there's some number that John Horst is operating with. I think unless he's just like a very careful guy by nature, I think we would have seen PJ back and some other things happening by now. So that's the main benefit, is hopefully allowing the Bucks to spend more than they might other ways. So Bobby is the most obvious one. And, you know, the biggest impact, frankly, I think, whether it's using the draft pick or not, they could save some money by trading down or out. Of course, second rounders are cheaper in the immediate books than first rounders, although first rounders, you usually get more guaranteed years, so there's an interesting trade-off there. Or using the full taxpayer mid-level exception, we've seen them use parts of it, and that again is another way you can save a little bit. But Bobby would be the biggest, say, like the biggest dollar amount out of any of those by far. and the best player. I mean, in year one, Bobby Portis is significantly better, likely, than anyone they would sign or any draft pick. Long term, you could argue, but Bobby's not an old guy either. I mean, you would think he's the biggest fish they have left, the biggest domino by far. And yeah, it would be really disappointing if the Bucks didn't re-sign him no matter what. And again, if it's like PJ Tucker, where, you know, if somebody offers Bobby, you know, 3 years, $45 million, and the Bucks literally can't do it, and Bobby decides to go get it, it still sucks, but it's understandable, right? It's literally out of their hands at that point. If Bobby signed somewhere for a full mid-level and the Bucks could have just paid it and choose not to, then that's where you get to, okay, this is a terrible look. And, you know, I think last year it was like, they better have a great plan. I think even with a great plan to make up for that, it's still a pretty bad look, because you're burning the asset, and anything else you do, any of those other, you know, keeping another player, right? You could use another roster spot with that extra money. It's going to be a vet min guy. It won't be someone as good as Bobby Portis. So I think inexcusable could probably be applied, assuming he doesn't get some crazy grandfather offer from Portland or whatever. But I think it will be for a reason the biggest indicator people use now for Milwaukee's spending, whether or not they can retain Bobby Portis.
Yeah, it's the key thing is it's never apples to apples in these situations, with the Bucks operating way over the cap as a pretty significant luxury tax team. If you're passing up on Pat Connaughton, if that had been, or if you're passing up on Bobby Portis, a lot of people just go, oh, well, just you pay what you would have paid him to. No, you can't do it. It's the Bucks' best option to strengthen their team year to year is generally, can you keep your guys? Are you prepared to keep them and pay what the tax cost is? And then who can you find with your mid-level? Like that's kind of the spot you're in as a team at this point. So one thing, I mean, we're 24 hours, little more than that, away from the NBA draft. Something like this isn't going to materially change anything the Bucks do, but I guess for us going into it, we would have expected Pat to have opted out, and even expecting him to come back, we'd have been like, oh, you know, maybe they could do with some more wing help, some forwards. They probably still wouldn't turn that kind of thing down if they feel the right player is there, but it is something that one more guy is guaranteed to be back on the roster for next year. No doubts at all about that heading into draft night.
Yeah, I think you could still use another wing player for sure. And especially if there is some sort of a move with a Grayson Allen, which I think, I don't know if hypothesized as much as manifested is what I've been doing there after the playoffs, which is tough. But if that happens or not, I still think you could look at backup point guard, depending on George Hill's health status and whatever else, maybe a bigger need. I think the Bucks still could pretty much use everything with or without Pat Connaughton, maybe even with or without Bobby Portis. So hopefully they just go pick, you know, a nice player and call it a day in the draft, whether that's trading up or trading down, which I would prefer them, honestly, I think, just to stand pat, unless someone is falling that they really like and they're able to obtain them for, you know, draft them for a reasonable trade up scenario.
Yeah, one thing on Grayson that I just, if you're not aware, anyone listening, because I wasn't aware until a couple of days ago, and I saw in Bobby Marks' piece.
Stabilize?
The poison pill restriction. Oh, contract. Yeah. So he can't be traded without the team trading for him. Let me see if I can find it. It bumps the salary up $3.5 million if he's traded before July 1st, which adds to, you know, the idea, oh, the Bucks may want to trade up on draft night. It's even more difficult to trade up on draft night than possibly we would imagine. I think that's something that's really tough for them generally. I was with you on this, and we've talked about this in the past, that I think they may well shop Grayson around. But in knowing that, that's an extra barrier, at least for now. Doesn't mean he couldn't be traded when free agency opens, but given what the Bucks are working with, trades for them, you really kind of want to make them on draft night, the only night where you have a first-round pick to trade. So that's a kind of tricky wrinkle too.
You could agree to terms and just close it later as well. I think that's something we see in the offseason pretty often. I think that would be the most, I mean, at this point, you're only talking about, you know, a week and a half or so to wait. So I think that probably would be a trade that's not closed until next league year for that reason. But it does certainly make it a bit more complicated here. What's interesting now for me too, and unfortunately got a rep pretty soon, but the non-guaranteed / expired vet min guys, like, you know, Pat's we expected back or we hoped back, but at a certain point, especially if they use one or even more picks, you start to run low on roster spots. So we'll see out of basically the group of, oh, we got Thanasis opting in. It's the other concrete piece of news. I think we all expected him back. Again, probably assumed maybe an opt-out in another contract, but hey, we'll take Thanasis. So we've got Luka Valdoza, Rajon Tucker are non-guaranteed, and then Wes Matthews, Javon Carter, Jordan War are all expired, plus Mamu and Wigginton both expired two-way contracts.
And Jordan being an RFA on that as well, so we'll yes. see if they actually extend the qualifying offer to him. Which yeah, I'm sure they will, but they may.
I don't know if they will.
Well, they may and pull it. Like, you see that sort of thing just while you go about your business, but there's so few roster spots that if you're asking me, like, I'm just moving on. Like, just not a second thought to it, but...
Yeah, I think we can probably do, probably after draft, another episode going through all of these spots, because we won't have true clarity until July. But it'll just be interesting to see who hangs on, and it will probably be largely informed by if they draft a player, who is it? Do they re-sign Bobby in terms of what positions you prioritize here? All I know is would really want Wes Matthews back, would like to see Javon Carter back. And in terms of the more fringe guys, man, I know you're on board. Give me Luka Valdoza. I'm all in.
I'm glad to see you've seen the light, Ty.
I want Tuck too. I want all of them. There's just only so many spots.
So many spots. That's the problem. We're going to wrap up because Ty is a local radio personality as well as a member of GSPN. So we got to get him out of here so he can go and talk to everyone else in the state of Wisconsin. Are we going to have another pod pre-draft? Is there a possibility? No, okay.
No, so happens. Well, but
Of course. There may be news. But otherwise, you'll hear from us post-draft. We also, for those of you who joined in, was playback for watching games throughout the season. And we have a couple playback things. We'll have a Brewers playback tonight. That's Wednesday as you're listening for Brewers Cardinals. And then most of greatest interest to those of you listening here, we're doing a watch along for the NBA draft on playback on Thursday. We will all, I'm sure, tweet out the link to that. So you'll be able to find it there. It'll be in our Discord. If you're a member, you'll find it there. And if you're not in our Discord, gspn.info, you can go and get your access to the Discord there. We should be a lot of fun. We'd love for as many of you to come and join us and watch the draft and see whatever it is John Horst has got in store for us. As always, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That's the Eurostep Podcast Network. Get all your Eurostep, all your winning six. I'm on Twitter at AdamMcGee11. Ty is at Ty Windish. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see that on your screen. If you're not watching on YouTube, go and subscribe there. And you can get a lot of our content there as well. I think that's pretty much it. I'll do it for now. Until next time, thanks again to all of you for listening. Thank you, Ty.
Thank you, Adam. Pod random.